Formed against me shall prosper. It won't work, no weapon formed against me.
Come on, stand with me, let's worship.
Shall prosper. It won't work, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work, no weapon formed against me shall prosper.
You thought you had me.
It won't work, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work.
God will do.
God will do what he said he would do. He will stand by his word. He will come through.
God will.
God will do what he said he will do. He will stand by his word. He
will. Come on, God will. Everybody, come on.
God will do what he said he will do. He will stand by his word. He will come.
God will.
God will do what he said he will do. He will stand by his word.
No weapon, no weapon.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work, no weapon formed against me shall prosper.
Tell your neighbor, no weapon, no weapon. Tell your neighbor,
no weapon formed against you shall prosper.
Do it like this, it won't work, come on.
It won't work, no weapon formed against you shall prosper.
God will do. Tell everybody, come on.
God will do what he said he will do. He will stand by his word. He
come on, God will.
God will do what he said.
Yes,
he will. He will stand by his word.
Come on, God will.
Word.
Yes.
He will come through. God will do.
Said he will do it.
He said he will.
Said he will do it.
God will.
God will.
Said he would do it.
Said he would do it. Stand by his word. He will come through.
No weapon.
No man formed against me shall prosper.
Come on, talk to yourself. It won't work.
It won't work.
No weapon.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work.
Give God a hand clap of worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Pastor Doss, Pastor Jeter. Thank you so much. Get ready, my brother. Thank you so much for allowing me the opportunity to come back home and be with family. Tell your neighbors, nothing like family. Those of you that are watching online, nothing like family. Nothing like family. Oh, you can give God some praise on that. Nothing like your biological family, your extended family, your church family. How many of you miss family during these last 15 months? Been isolated. I miss family. I think I ran some people's phone off the hook. I just rang it. It's all you again? Yes, me again. I miss you. Nothing like family. Amen. 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 Well, I'm not going to keep you long, but I have a declaration today for the men of God, for the women of God, and the children of God. But I'm specifically speaking to men to men. But before I give it to you straight, I have a couple of gifts that I want to give out to some mighty men of God. The first man of God I have a gift for is my pastor, Pastor Jerry Wayne Doss. How many of you know that he appreciates? Come on, let's thank God for our pastor. Steph Curry. Love you, Pastor. Happy Father's Day. Hallelujah. Now I want to honor the father, because I don't know about you, but fathering is hard work. Being a father, it is challenging. Somebody said, but God. But God. I want to honor the father who has the most children. If you got 10 kids, raise your hand. 10 kids. You got 9, 8, 7. Come on up here. Hallelujah. Come on up here. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Come on. Come on. Give him a big God bless you. Woo! Love you, man. We got 2. Here we go. Glory! That's it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! I want all the men to stand up. I want all the men and young men to stand up. Where's Malachi? Where's Malachi? Malachi, come up here, Malachi. Pastor said something earlier during his words of exhortation about our responsibilities of mentoring and loving on the young men. Come on, I want everybody to see you, Malachi. Hallelujah. Come on, give God some praise. Come on, you can do that, do better than that for Jesus. Glory! Glow, I love you too, Malachi. I love you too, man. I was talking to my wife, and not many guys can interrupt me while I'm talking to my wife. I'm talking to my wife, and somebody tapped me on the shoulder, and I look up, but he was on his knees. He said, I miss you, Pastor May. He gave me the biggest, and my heart sank, because I felt that anointed responsibility to live Jesus all the time. To be the light in front of him and those all the time. I felt that, and I said, give him a big God bless you. Thank you, Malachi. I love you, man. I felt that love. So men, like Pastor Doss said earlier, they're watching us, the young men and the young women. And my daughter is here. I want to give a shout out to my two youngest daughters, Mercy and Noah. I introduced Mercy, the older one, to Malachi. Because Mercy is getting to that age when he's cute. I said, what'd you say? They getting to that age. I ain't stupid. I wasn't born yesterday or the day before. So I introduced her to Malachi. Because you never know, amen? Because Malachi loved Jesus and Mercy loved Jesus. Amen? Amen? You never know. Hallelujah. I'd rather be Malachi than Junebug or Pookie them. Hallelujah. Amen. Y'all look at me like I'm crazy. I'm still me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Where my title? Where my overhead? They didn't get it? Write this down. Write this down. No, no, not that one. Leave my family alone. That's the title of my message. Leave my family alone. See, you got to get to that point. See, not just my biological family. Leave my brother Kurt alone. Leave my sister Adrianelle alone. Leave John Jock alone. Amen. Leave my baby sisters alone. You can't have their virginity. In the name of Jesus. Leave them alone. You got to get to that point, men. I'm talking to the men. We've been given the responsibilities to tell all that ungodly stuff to keep your nasty hands off my family. Keep your nasty words off my family. You see, on last week, Pastors Jerry and Jeta Doss compelled us to speak life over our families. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus that we here in the sanctuary and those that are watching online, they will catch this. You gave it to me. Now I'm being obedient to share it. Holy Spirit, I decrease that you will increase. Don't let no evidence of flesh. All you and less of me. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Your servants are listening. They admonished us on last week to speak life, amen and amen, over our families. And I looked at that video a couple of times because I wanted to catch every word that Pastor Jerry Wayne Doss and Pastor Jeta and Brother Dion and his lovely family were giving to us. I didn't want to miss it. And these are some of the things that I pulled out of that discussion. You know, in regards to negative words that have been spoken over and into our lives, Pastor Doss said, sometimes people internalize the hurtful words and then they separate themselves. Men, that's when we are to go after them. And I'm going to show you how to do it. Some practical ways of going after people, even those that won't pay you $500 back. You can go after them without that behavior. Where's my money? You can go after them. Because you want all that negative stuff to leave your family alone. Also, during the discussion on last week, we watched Dion. I watched Dion. I think he was right there in that area. I watched Dion. That's my brother from another mother. I love me some Dion. That's my homie from Wyoming. I love Dion. During the discussion, we watched Dion look in the eyes of his beautiful wife and his gorgeous daughter. And Dion began to express to us that were in the sanctuary and those who were watching online how important it is to build your family up with words of affirmation and affection. I was watching him, and my wife wasn't in the room when I was watching. I was getting mushy. I was getting mushy for my wife because that brother right there was admonishing me, was encouraging me to make sure they, it, them, leave my family alone. He said, you got to build them up with words of affirmation. I do that so often under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and sometimes when I don't want to because he convicts me with his power. I said, baby, I just love your fingernails. She said, this old stuff? I said, yeah, I love them. I just build up and build up because I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a time when I get on her nerve and you can't withdraw if you don't make a deposit. Oh, I know I'm a man. Right? So I make a whole lot of deposits, right? Five love languages. I make a lot of deposits. So when it's time to make a withdrawal, I got something in the bank, baby, in the love tank. So last week, Pastor led the team to remind us to speak life over our families. Now, all that sounds good. However, what about those words that have been spoken into our lives that causes us to hold bitterness, anger, and an unforgiving spirit? See, they taught us last week how to speak of our children right now, but I'm grown. You're grown. And there's some words that have been spoken in our lives and over our lives, in our lives, if we need to get delivered from. Men, the reason why she's not as excited to cook for you, there's a reason. I don't know the reason. She's cooking, but you hear the pans and pots, they're getting louder. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I know what that means. My wife, because she loves to cook for me. But when the pans are louder, boom, I said, why she making all that noise? Holy Ghost said, you know. You got some work to do. Come on, man. When your child comes straight home from school and goes straight to their room, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. There's something wrong. You need to tell something to leave your child alone. You need to tell something to leave your wife alone. You need to say, tell something to leave your coworker alone. You need to tell somebody to leave your neighbor. Why your neighbor don't say good morning anymore? Something's wrong. And it starts with us as men of God. Men,
What are we to do when we see bitterness in our loved one? We can see it. You can cut it with a knife. When we see unforgiveness, when we see that spirit, we see it. What do we do? We don't know. Look, this is what you don't do. I learned this, Pastor. You don't say, get over it. Don't you say that. That's the worst thing to say, especially to your wife. Don't say that. But I'm going to show you what to do through the word of God. See, turn with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 54 and 17. The Lord compelled me to sing that song, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. God will do what he said he would do. He will stand by his word. He will come through. Thank God for Fran Hammond and that song, but they didn't complete the verse. They didn't complete the verse in that song. See, the rest of that verse says, every tongue that rises up against you, you will condemn it. See, I wish I had a song on that verse, on that part of the verse. See, that's my responsibility. You present your body as a living sacrifice. That's your responsibility. See, every tongue that rises up against your family member, you shall condemn it. Now, if you're I feel the Holy Ghost. If you are the tongue that's rising up against your family, who's going to condemn it? It could be your child that challenged you, Dad. How many of us seen that happen? Or it happened to you? You talk to their mama the wrong way. That son that's 13 years old now, he's huffing up. Why? Because your tongue has come up against his mama and your hand was raised against his mama. Now that boy rising up. You got work to do, man of God. Every tongue that rises up against you, you shall condemn it. See, the song we just sang, it was taken from this passage of scripture, but the rest of the scripture says, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn it. And I had to do some study on that particular part of the scripture verse, look at some commentaries, some theologians, those who have more degrees than a thermometer. I had to look it up. And what they said in a nutshell, that simply means the enemy shall not remain victorious over you. Don't miss that. He may get victory over you, but when you rebuke that word, when we rebuke that behavior and your lifestyle lines up with your rebuke, the enemy is defeated. See, the enemy has no control. He has no power. See, the enemy didn't make me use profanity. I use profanity, but the enemy used the profanity that I use to make my loved one feel bad. The enemy didn't make me cuss. The enemy didn't make me hold unforgiveness in my heart, but the enemy uses that unforgiveness against, leave my family alone. The enemy used that unforgiveness that's in my heart to cause the separation. Stop blaming the name, the devil. That's us. That's us. Every tongue that rises up against you, you shall condemn it. You will not allow it to be victorious. Let me give you an example. I have a few more minutes. Let me give you an example. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 30. I'm going to give you an example, men, of what we should do. There are 4 points that we should do to grab our family back. I know you're tired. I feel you, Holy Ghost. I know you're tired. You're tired of giving him money all the time. You're tired of paying her rent. I know you're tired, but guess where you got that money from? Let that marinate. Where'd you get that from? I know you're tired. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 30, beginning in verse 1. In chapter 29 of 1 Samuel, David and his men went on the battlefield. But the Philistines didn't want them to fight with them. They left their home, they left the community, and they went on the battlefield. But they said, no, I know you. You're the one that when they sang a song that Saul killed his 1,000 and you killed your 10,000. You might turn on us. You get on away from here. So they kicked him off. So they went back home, and let's pick up the story in verse 1. David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now, the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it and had taken captive the women and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them but carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men reached Ziklag, come on, go in the scripture. I love going in the scripture. Anybody been in the pit with Joseph? Anybody been by the well with my sister? I love to get into scripture. How many of you been in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? See, go into scripture right now. Go into scriptures right now. Go right there. Envision this. Just envision. Oh, this is phenomenal to me. When David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed. That's that black sheep of the family that you call the black sheep. That they called themselves the black sheep. They found it destroyed by the fire and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. I don't know about you. I just had the privilege of turning 62 years old. And I'm at a thank you. And I'm at a season. I'm at a season in my life where I'm feeling more conviction that I haven't been patient more with people, that I haven't been giving more to people. See, you had all the toys already. See, I've experienced all the toys, 28 states and 18 different countries. I've experienced all the toys. You know what I mean? But now I'm at a point, and I said, wait a minute, Lord. Come on, give me another chance to make it right with that loved one. Let that marinate too. Come on, let that marinate. Give me another chance to make it right with that family member. They had been captive. And David saw this. So point number one, what or when do we fight for our families? When do we fight? Because it's got to be a God moment, because they don't want to be bothered with us anymore. You know, because we're too religious or we're too convicting or too condemning. So when do we fight for our family? I'm going to show you. Go to 2 Corinthians 10 and 4. This is when we fight for our families. 2 Corinthians 10 and 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the, somebody say, pulling down strongholds. Now, we've heard that. I've heard that throughout my salvation experience. Pull down the stronghold, and we be in the congregation doing this, pulling down strong. But that's some practical things that we can do to pull down that stronghold that's holding that family member in bondage. Pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments. Let's stop arguing with them. See, I'm not going to get too many amens today. I know you got the email, you got the text, you went to the website. I'm not going to get too many amen. That's okay. I just got to give you what God told me to give you. Cassie, because I've been there. I used to argue with a kid, with my daughter. And now I got a headache. I didn't have a headache before. Now she's slamming doors. True story, I had to take the doors off the hinge because she wouldn't stop. I took them off the hinge. I was crazy. None of you. Love Jesus, but I was crazy. Slam the door. That's my door. You gonna slam? I took it off the head. Can't slam it no more. That was ludicrous. Don't laugh at that. That was religion. That was religion. Religious. I took it off, and she wouldn't turn the lights off. The kid wouldn't turn the lights off, and I got tired of paying Edison all my money. So I would take the light bulbs out. Crazier than a Bessie bulb. I had to get delivered. Love Jesus. Speak in tongues. Lay hands on the sick. Pow. They got recovered. But religion, y'all looking at me, I hope you're getting this. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exhausts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought. I had to start looking at him as a deacon, as a preacher, not a dope fiend. Oh, they don't say dope fiend, they say drug addict, right? See, I'm old school. I had to stop looking at him like that. I had to change my thinking and stop looking at him. He can't keep a job. I had to stop because my thoughts became my behavior, became my action. And when we had a family gathering, my facial expression demonstrated that I was disappointed in him. Well, that's a good word there. I got that from heaven. That's not in notes. Because those thoughts, I had to cast down arguments and thoughts. thoughts. And what did Paul tell us to do? And submit them to the obedience of Christ. Woo-wee! I'm still learning how to do that. When you submit that thought and those arguments to the obedience of Christ, guarantee, on the count of three, I want you to raise your hand. How many of you are seeing a difference in your family member as a result of your behavior? One, two, three. Look at all that, all over the room. All those years we wasted fussing. All those years we wasted arguing. All we had to do was to submit to the obedience of Christ and let God use you. So that's point. So when do we fight for our families? When we change our stinking thinking and when we stop arguing. We can't fight for them, or we won't fight for them, if we're still arguing with them, if we still have those negative thoughts. Amen? Give God a hand clap of praise. Point number two. What are we fighting against? I remember a long time ago, I remember the first time I stopped arguing with my firstborn. I said, wait a minute, I'm helping the devil. It occurred to me. I was working for the, I love Jesus. Saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm speaking tongues. I know Genesis to Revelations. You know, and I even created some books. You know what I'm talking about. But I said, wait, why am I arguing? I mean, I'm making my blood pressure go up, my heart skipping beats and stuff. I said, I got to stop this. I said, I'm working for the devil. Every time I'm arguing with my young person or a colleague, it don't have to be a family member, because you're with them 8 hours a day, baby. I learned a long time ago, before they get to the office, I anoint their chair. I anoint their desk. How many of you ever done that? You anoint that office, baby, and you change your stinking thinking. And I got to be with them 8 hours a day. Amen? So something got to change, and it's not them, it's me that had to change. So what are the three things? What are we fighting against? We're fighting against pains of the past. You see that? Okay, thank you. We're fighting against excuses, and we're fighting against guilt and shame. And some of that guilt and shame we put on them. First of all, pains of the past. I know you've been saved. You love the Lord 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years. But they still have that hurt inside of them. They still holding on. Stuff family members bring up that I forgot about. I said, wait a minute. I didn't even remember that. But they still hold on to that. So now, how do you deal with that when they're bringing up the pains of the past, when you offended them, when you hurt them a long time ago? How do you deal with excuses? Blaming the white man, blaming the black man, blaming Pac-Man, blaming Superman, and even Superwoman, blaming everybody. They just blame everybody for their predicament. So how do you deal with that? I'm going to show you through scripture. And then that guilt and shame. When I didn't understand this. Why is it that my family member, my colleague, why is it that when my colleague, when they come around me, they run? I mean, why is it when I go in the room, it get quiet? I'm talking about unbeliever colleagues. Why? Because that bothered me. What is happening? It wasn't me. It was the Christ in me, the hope of glory. So I had to get over it. I said, wait, no. They don't invite you to the party. Because they can't. How many of you got stopped inviting? They no longer invited you to family gatherings. I ain't like that. I'm not going to smoke a joint with you no more. No more Boom Fun Wild Irish Roll. No more Mad Dog 2020. But I want my family. So I had to look at me. And I found out every time I'm around them, I'm quoting scripture. Say amen or oh me. I said, I had to stop doing it. I stopped doing it because I miss my family. So I stopped quoting scripture because I was bringing guilt and shame on them. So I had to stop doing that behavior so they can receive the love of God through my life. Amen? How do we fight for our families? This is how you fight for your family, your friends, and your colleagues. First of all, just love them. Paul told us in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, be devoted to one another. And in the first part of that, in verse 9, he said, love must be sincere. Just love them. until you change. Let that marinate. Number two, faith. You got to have faith. I'm so glad Grandma Old didn't give up on me. Donnie, I told you this. She had to blow my high. Donnie, Jesus love you. But she kept telling me that and telling me that and showing me and telling me that and telling me. She had the fight of faith, the good fight of faith. Number three, resources. You know the story in Luke chapter 15. We call him the prodigal son, but the son in the house, he was prodigal too. But you know the story. The daddy missed his son. So when he saw his son a far way off in Luke chapter 15, he ran to him and immediately told his servants to get some resources and give it to him. Keep paying their rent. Don't give them the money because you know they're struggling with taking stuff. Family member just asked me, I can't pay this. I go, okay, give me the name of the management company. Hallelujah. And you can do everything electronic now. Glory to God. Amen. They don't even have to see the money. Woo! They don't even have to see the money. Because they got my grandbabies or got my cousins and nieces and stuff with them. So, you know, because they act like they ain't got no sins, I don't want them to suffer too, right? Somebody say wisdom. So keep giving them resources. Give them that dress you don't wear anymore. You know the one you having separation anxiety? Give them that dress you can't wear. I'm telling you, that's family. That's a colleague. Give them that suit. Goodwill love to seeing me. Salvation Army. Because when I give them clothes, ain't no button missing. Ain't no button cracked. Ain't no zipper broken. It's good stuff. Glory to God. Give them. Keep giving them resources. You got more than enough. You're going to see a change in your life and their lives. Amen. But we need God's direction. Go back to 1 Samuel 30 as we're coming to a close. But we need God's direction. See, there got to be God moments. When Malachi came to me to greet me, interrupting my conversation with my wife, that was a God moment. I jumped up and immediately I hugged him. And momentarily, I forgot about my wife. Just momentarily. Wasn't too long. Hallelujah. Just momentarily. Because he came to me. So keep giving them resources, but you got to have God's direction. Go back to 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 4. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord. Anybody ever been in the cave of Adullam with David? When he encouraged himself in the Lord, I've been in that cave with him. He knew how to, he wrote most of the Psalms. He knew how to, if you look at the Psalms, you'll see, oh Lord, exclamation point. Oh God, exclamation point. He knew how to cry out to God. Don't stop crying out to God on behalf of your family, men. All men, stand up with me. All men, stand up with me. Don't stop crying out to God on behalf of your family. And when they go to sleep, I just do this with my family. I wait till they go to sleep because they can't resist. They can't resist. I hit that subconscious. And you kneel by that bed. It won't work. You kneel by the bed while they sleep. It won't work. And you plead the blood of Jesus. You cry. You snot sling. You be right there. My kids will tell you today, my older children, they say, Dad, my head was wet. They wake up, why my head wet? I said, baby, I anointed you with oil while you were asleep. You just plead the blood. You got colleagues and co-workers, write their name down. And you just plead the blood. I'm talking to men. Why do we like the rough house? Why do we like to wrestle and football? That's the way God created us, to fight the good fight of faith. We like to fight. Remember those old fights? We have a humbug. You give me a black eye, I get bust your lip. We friends the next day, remember that? They don't do that today. They just shoot you and kill you. They don't know nothing about that. We'd have a good humbug. We knew how to fight. And that's what we got to do for our families. I want all the men right here with me. It won't work. Come on, right here. I need some men right here. No weapon. No weapon. No weapon. Somebody say no weapon. No weapon. No weapon. No weapon. No weapon. It won't. Tell your brother. Tell your brother. No weapon. No weapon. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Somebody say, I am my brother's keeper. Come on, say, I am my brother's keeper. I am my brother's keeper. You stuck with me. Come on, tell him you stuck with me. We in this together. We in this together. Come on, get somebody a high five right where you are. Give them a high five. It won't work. Come on, ladies. Stand up, ladies. Stretch your hands toward these men. Begin to pray for these men. Come on, ladies. Begin to pray for these men. Bunch of chicken of oak. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, no weapon. No weapon formed against me. Come on, pray for them. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. No weapon. In the name of Jesus. Financial deliverance. More than enough. You will treat your wife right. You will treat your woman right. You will love those children. In the name of Jesus. You're the head and not the tail. You're the head and not the tail. Come on, come on. It won't work. In the name of Jesus. Father, from the top of their head to the sole of their feet, may the eyes of their understanding be enlightened. May their hearts, as they are toward you, give them wisdom to make the right decision. Give them wisdom to say the right things. Give them wisdom to walk upright with you. I pray, oh God, as you're doing with Malachi, that you would use these men to draw more Malachi. Woo! To draw more Elishas. To draw more Elishas. More Timothys. I speak to Timothy anointing. I speak to Paul anointing. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego anointing over your life in the name of Jesus.